have a study. Will you turn in your Bible today, please, to Galatians chapter 2. I appreciate you watching the broadcast, and hope it's a blessing to you. If it is, I'd like to hear from you. So would you please write to me? If you'd like, you can call us, but we'd like to hear from you. In Galatians chapter 2, now we're talking about the cross, remember. We've been discussing the cross for several weeks now. And in Galatians, Paul is discussing the effectiveness of the cross versus keeping the law. It's spirit versus flesh, law versus grace, and on and on. Now, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul said, I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So then, every believer, every person that completely trusts Jesus Christ for their salvation is crucified with Christ. Yet we're alive, Christ living in us. Now notice in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6 verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? The passage cannot include water baptism. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, we were baptized into Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Greek, on and on and on he goes. And the Bible said, in Christ there's neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek. Compare, please, Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, notice in verse 26, Galatians 3:26 says, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Obviously, that cannot be water baptism. Water baptism did not change your physical being at all. In Christ, there's neither male nor female, according to Colossians. And this passage says, we're baptized into Christ, neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, on and on and on. So it's not water. It's got to be a spiritual thing. Back in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, spiritual baptism, were baptized into his death. Okay, I'm going to say that right here represents the church, which is the body of Christ. It's referred to in Ephesians chapter 1, the church which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. All right, there's the church, which is the body of Christ. Here's the crucifixion of Jesus Christ back here. Every individual that the Holy Spirit baptizes into that body there, that is a corporate body of believers. Every individual that the Holy Spirit identifies and places and sets in that body were baptized into his death. That is, every individual that is in this is dead, spiritually speaking. In other words, dead to the law, dead to sin. That individual was baptized into the crucifixion of Christ at Calvary. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death. The death there is the death of the cross. It's the baptism of death. Jesus Christ said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. In Luke chapter 12, verse 50, where he makes the statement, he's already been baptized in water, he's already filled with the Holy Spirit, so he has a baptism of death to be baptized with. Jesus Christ was immersed in death at Calvary. Jesus Christ was overwhelmed in death. All right? we were baptized into that death. We were overwhelmed in His death. We went through death in Christ by identification with Christ. We experienced death. Why? Because He experienced our death for us. He died our death for us. Therefore, what He did at Calvary is put to our account. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ is raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In other words, as Jesus Christ arose to walk in newness of life. Back here, He walked under the law. Out here, not so, dead to the law. Over here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ is referred to as in the flesh. In other words, He's the Son of Man pertaining to the flesh. And the genealogy goes back through David, goes back through Abraham, back through Adam to God. Well, Paul said after Christ died, was buried, and rose again, Paul said, we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Well then, Jesus Christ rose to walk in newness of life. So what is He saying to me? He's saying that when I find this truth, when I see this truth, when I come to an understanding that I am crucified at Calvary and that I'm to walk in newness of life, in other words, I'm not under the law any longer. I'm dead to the law. I'm to walk as a new creature, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is dealing with the law. He's dealing with condemnation pertaining to the law. And he goes into chapter 5. And in chapter 5, he deals with the fact that we are new creatures. Old things are passed away. In other words, the keeping of the law, the abiding in the law, the sacrificial offerings, all those things are passed away. All things are become new. So I'm to walk in newness of life now. In other words, I am crucified with Christ, so I'm not to walk in the law any longer. I'm to walk in newness of life. Sin is transgression of the law. You know, it's amazing the attitude people have about falling from grace. Turn in your Bible to Galatians, hold on to Romans, and go to Galatians chapter 5. Context, law versus grace. Keeping the law versus believing the Lord and being in the grace of God. Galatians 5 verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage is identified by cross reference. Acts 15 verse 10, check it out for yourself. Acts 15 verse 10, the yoke of bondage is the law, and no doubt about that. Verse 2, behold, I Paul say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. In other words, if you, in this particular case, these people have been told, except you become circumcised and keep the law, you cannot be saved. Paul said, if you become circumcised, Christ is of no profit to you. What is he saying there? He's saying to you that are listening to my voice, if you do something to gain salvation, then Christ is of no effect to you. Are you listening? If you're trying to work to gain your salvation, you're not believing in Jesus Christ. If you're trying to keep the law, keep the commandments to get to heaven, you're not believing in Jesus. If you're trying to keep the law to get to heaven, Christ is of no effect unto you. In fact, he says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, cursed is the man that continue not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. So if you're trying to keep the law to get saved, you're under the curse. You're not saved by grace. Now in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Isn't that amazing how people have taken that and twisted it and say that what that is really saying is, if you do something bad after you get saved, you're lost again. You fell from grace. You fall from grace by doing bad things, they say. That is not what the passage is saying at all. The passage is saying, in effect, if you have claimed Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and now you're trying to keep the law to gain heaven, then you're fallen from grace. He didn't say, if you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and afterwards you go out and dance, or if you play cards, or if you watch a movie, or drink a beer, or smoke a cigarette, you're fallen from grace. So, Brother Moore, you telling me all that stuff's right? I'm not telling you any such thing. I'm telling you that falling from grace has nothing to do with whether you ever commit a sin or not. Falling from grace has to do with those people who claim to be saved by grace and then turn to the law to gain by their own works what is free to them in Christ. And that's a reproach upon the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried to them by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Look in Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of the Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. There is no mistake about it. Walking in newness of life in Romans chapter 6 verse 4 is walking in the grace of God, experiencing the grace of God, recognizing that you're in His grace, recognizing that Christ paid for your sins, recognizing that you'll never be judged for your sins, in that God judged Jesus Christ for your sins, and there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. But I realize how that so many of the conniving preachers today take the passages out of their context and they use them to get people to come down to the altar and pray. They use them to get people to rededicate, and on and on and on it goes. And it's all right if people keep the commandments. In other words, so many of the preachers teach you believe in Jesus Christ and keep the commandments. No! Believe in Jesus Christ and recognize you're dead to the commandments. Recognize you're dead to the law. Recognize you're dead to sin through what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. That's the preaching of the cross. That's why the preaching of the cross is foolishness in the churches in America today. The preaching of the cross is not preached in the churches today. Works is preached in the churches. Recently, I was preaching in a congregation, and there was a quartet that was going to sing after I finished. And I made the comment that you can't repent of your sins to gain the grace of God. I preach that salvation is trusting Jesus Christ, and that it is not repent and believe in Jesus Christ. It's believe in Jesus Christ. If you've got to repent to believe in Jesus Christ, then you earn the favor of God by your repentance. Doesn't matter whether people like that or not. If you've got to repent to get God's favor, then you earned it. And according to Romans chapter 11, if it's of works, it is no longer of grace. Repentance is a work. And so as I did this, there was one of the quartet members belligerently with a scornful look on his face got up and stomped out of the church building. Well, that's all right. If he didn't want to listen, that's his prerogative. And later in a discussion about this, I said to a person there, if the man wanted to repent, I didn't say he couldn't. So let me say to you that are listening to my voice, if you want to repent, I have no rule over you. I have no law over you. You can repent as far as I'm concerned. But let me tell you right now, you don't have to repent to gain the grace of God. The grace of God was gained for you by Christ's death at Calvary, and so you believe in that. and you trust what he did at Calvary. Repentance is for believers, not unbelievers. Now in Romans chapter 6, verse 5, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. The word likeness there is just strewn and shattered and smeared. The idea being that if you were immersed in the likeness of his death, and to make that like with a handkerchief over your mouth and nose, put down in a watery grave in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But that's not what the passage is about. If we've been planted together in the likeness there is not the position of Jesus Christ in death. The likeness is the type of death. If we've been planted together in the type of his death, what is his death? It's the death of the cross. If we've been planted by Almighty God in the death of the cross, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, he said in the next verse. Hold to that passage and turn, please, to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy 2, look at verse 10. He said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. It cannot be changed. If you've died with Christ at Calvary, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the crucifixion of Christ is put to your account out here, you died with him at Calvary, you shall live with him. You were planted in the likeness of his death, which is the death of the cross. You will live with him. The Bible said, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So back in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Okay, we're dead. Sin is transgression of the law. Sin is by the law. We're dead to sin. Why? We're dead to the law. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Well, then we're dead to the law. We're dead to sin. That's the preaching of the cross. What is required of you to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, the preaching of the cross. What about the preaching of the cross? Number one, it's the medium of salvation. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There is no other way of salvation. It is the medium of salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is the medium of salvation. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There is no other means of salvation for you today outside the cross. So that tells me something. That tells me that every saved people, every saved person, every saved congregation, no exception to this, are those who saw themselves as sinners. Why? Jesus Christ died the death of the cross. What does the cross mean? What does it signify? It signifies something bad. It signifies the death of a criminal. Jesus died the death of a criminal. The Bible said he was numbered the transgressors. So I know then those that are saved by grace through faith are those that saw themselves as bad. They saw themselves in need and believed in Jesus Christ, trusting that he died for them at Calvary to save them. It's the medium of salvation. The medium of salvation is not praying at an altar. The medium of salvation is not being baptized for your remission of sins. The medium of salvation is the cross. Jesus Christ was crucified for us. We are crucified with Christ. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. It's the medium of salvation. Now, it's amazing to me that there are so many people that I talk to, and I say, are you saved? Well, yes, I guess if anybody is, I am, they say. I say, well, have you believed the gospel? They say, oh, yes. I say, what is it? And they say, well, the gospel is good news. I say, yes, it is good news. But what is that good news? Well, it's the Word of God. I said, but the Word of God is not all good news. That part of the Word of God is bad news. What is the gospel? And they finally admit they don't know what it is. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that if our gospel be hid, verse 3 rather, if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost. Do you know the gospel? The gospel of Christ is the medium of salvation. If that's true, and there's no doubt it is, why do preachers not preach it? Why are preachers preaching, come and pray at the altar? Why are they preaching, repent and be baptized to get remission of sins? The preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it. Number two, it's the method of reconciliation. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's start in verse 17. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Well, then the preaching of the cross is the method of reconciliation. God was in Christ at Calvary. God was in Christ reconciling the world. Out here is the world. The Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God reconciled the world unto himself. He said in John 3, verse 18, he that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Son of God. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's why I keep telling people, it's not your sins that's your problem today, it's your unbelief. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and God Almighty will save you. What is the medium? How is the means of getting to God? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ crucified is the medium. Jesus Christ dying at the cross is the medium. He's the method of God's reconciliation. There is no other method that God can use to reconcile you unto himself. Reconciliation has to do with making friends of those that have been enemies. The Bible tells me in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were at enmity with God. The Bible tells me in Romans chapter 8 that Jesus Christ died for God's enemies. When we were yet enemies, when we were enemies, Jesus Christ died for us. Well, reconciliation means providing a means where we can be friends again. It is almost as if God is here, man is here, Jesus Christ is here, and one hand of Jesus Christ takes man and one hand God, and through Christ brings them together so that God can be friendly to man. God can be friendly to you today. That's why I was talking about repentance. God can be friendly to you because Jesus Christ died for you. God couldn't be friendly to you if Jesus Christ hadn't died for you. He made reconciliation for you at Calvary. Say, well, you mean to tell me that the world is saved? No. I'm telling you, reconcile. I'm telling you that God Almighty fixed it so that the world can go to God through Christ. I think about borrowing money. And I say to the banker, what if I can't pay this thing right on the day? What if I can't make the payment the day I'm supposed to? And the banker says, there is a 14-day grace period. In other words, the payment for sin came due in A.D. 33. God said, I'm demanding that men die. I'm demanding that payment, the wages of sin, be made now. And so Jesus Christ went to Calvary. Jesus Christ took the sins of the world upon himself. Jesus Christ took our sins. And therefore, God Almighty fixed a grace period so that your sins are not going to come up for judgment again unless you reject Christ. Let's just say here's the rapture of the church, then in the tribulation over here, and on, your sins are going to come back up unless you trust Christ, your Lord and Savior. You see, God Almighty reconciled the world unto himself through Jesus Christ. That is, he fixed it so that he can be friendly to us even though we're sinful individuals and unworthy of God's mercy. You don't have to pray to God for mercy. God's already had mercy on you when he gave his son to die for you at Calvary. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You can get to God today through Jesus Christ. The method of reconciliation is the cross. Will you trust Christ? Will you believe in him right now? Right where you are. If you cannot remember a day in your life when as a lost sinner you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, will you make that be right now? Can you remember a place and a time when you were under conviction and you saw your need of salvation and believing Christ, you trusted him to save you? If you can't, do it right now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.